Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin, the host of this program, and you would think that we've turned into a sports show recently with all of the great things that have been going on in the sports world here in Connecticut, which is interesting to me because I come from Colorado, where we had, you know, national hockey teams, we had national football, national basketball, and then I moved to Connecticut, and everything is more at a collegiate level, and I thought, well, how exciting is that going to be? Well, I guess I'm finding out, especially these past couple of weeks. So with us today, we've got Cameron Boone, but we're going to call him Cam because he only gets called Cameron when he's in trouble. And he's the Associate Director of Creative Content for Quinnipiac Men's Ice Hockey Team. You may have heard a few things about them lately. So, Cam, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me on. Yeah, it's definitely an exciting time right now. That is for sure.
What a whirlwind. So Associate Director of Creative Content. So we've, you know, obviously seen all of your social media stuff that's got to keep you busy. But how does somebody fall into a position like that? And what is it? What do you do?
So, yeah. Well, first off, thank you. Thank you for having me on here. Basically, it's the easy answer that I tell people. It's everything that you see. So, like, you know, the social media stuff is one thing, but then like our website and, you know, the photos and videos and managing of all that. I don't take them all, but like, I'm basically in charge of like managing a lot of it along with, you know, my boss, Nick Solari. And then our, you know, our photographer, does a really good job of, you know, making that job easy for us. But it's basically, it's a PR person. So it's working in communications and public relations for, you know, specific teams and for the athletic department that you would see, you know, at different corporations and things like that. So we'll handle, you know, the media requests and we'll handle, you know, as I said, you know, it's pretty much, you know, Everything that you see, we probably have.
It's pretty much what we do here at Baldwin Media, right? Every day is different and you just got to juggle keep the balls in the air and all that kind of stuff. So now go ahead.
Every day is different. You sit down at 9 o'clock and you're like, all right, what's today going to be?
That's right. Well, that's what makes it exciting. And that's why I think these kind of positions are unique. So let's get to the good stuff. So this is your first year at Quinnipiac, correct?
Yeah. So I actually, my first official day was the last Wednesday in September, and that Saturday was the first men's hockey exhibition game. So they basically said, here you go, have fun, here's the hockey team, go. And 6 months later, here we are.
What a great start, right? I mean, how do you go up from here? But let's talk about that adventure, because I know that you also manage other sports within Quinnipiac Athletics too, but let's just focus for the purpose of this conversation on the men's ice hockey team. So what was that like to be part of this journey? And, you know, one of the things is Quinnipiac is a great school, but I never really thought of them as an ice hockey school. But I guess that's all changed now, right? So what was it like leading up to these final games? And just tell me what you went through.
So it's a whirl. It is, there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that goes into it that, you know, it's a lot of preparation and then, you know, capitalizing on what happens. You know, we have plans for Thursday. We have plans for Saturday. But honestly, it's a whirl. You kind of show up. We showed up at the Frozen Four, you know, Tuesday. They had, you know, a steel drum band waiting for us. Like, there was a blue carpet run out and there were, you know, necklaces and everything. So there was a big welcome on Tuesday. Wednesday, they called it a car wash, and we basically just, everybody met with everybody from, you know, video board interactions to ESPN to national radio to, and everybody just did. It was basically a big meeting day, and then you had to practice.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday we play, you know, everybody, you know, Thursday we win the game, you know, 5-2, we beat Michigan.
Yeah. And by the way, they're the 9-time national champions, right?
Yeah. Wasn't a bad win.
Oh, my goodness.
They also have, you know, the consensus number 2 pick in the draft and the Hobie Baker winner and Adam Fantilli. So, I mean, they were a very good, very good team. Luke Hughes has also just played with the Devils. And they were in college, you know, a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened. And then Friday, you basically have to get everything ready for Saturday. That's, you had a week to get done for Thursday. So that was, you know, another whirl in itself. And then Saturday, you know, we beat, you know, Minnesota in the national championship game. Number one overall seed, big, Big Ten regular season champs, just all of it. And since then, it has been, people have started joking around. It's been the Rand Pecknold media tour.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a Quinnipiac media tour where everybody and their mother wants to, from WFAN to Sports Center to, any number of national media outlets are like, oh, we want to tell your story now. And it's an incredible one for, especially for Coach, where, he got here 29, he just finished his 29th season.
Right.
And he was making, less than $7,000, and he was a history teacher, and he was sleeping, 6 hours a day and just, grinding through it. And now, 29 years later, he's a Division I national champion and, was part of the most watched, national championship game in 15 years. So
let's give a shout out to Coach Rand Pecknold, because unbelievable. I mean, for someone to hang in there that long, like you said, and really pay his dues, right? He just did it, I would guess, because he loved the game. He loves the sport. He loves the school. And to do this and sacrifice sleep and pay and everything else for 29 years. And now here's the payoff, right? So you never know.
It's all worth it now. It is all worth it now. I mean, just everything that you had been through, especially, going in 2013 and they had beaten Yale, 3 or 4 times in the season already. And then they lose the national championship game. And then they go play North Dakota in 2016. And that team has, again, just a bunch of draft picks. And they rolled through the whole year. And the problem with those opportunities is they're great, but they take so much to get there. And when you don't come out on top, and he's even said this, he's like, you don't know when you're going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know, last year they played Michigan in the regional final and lost. 2 years ago, they lost to Minnesota Duluth in the regional final. So, to finally get over the hump to get to Tampa.
Yep.
And then get over the next hump to win the whole thing. It's the payoff that, is 29 years in the making.
Well, you mentioned, and again, we're speaking with Cam Boone. He's the Associate Director of Creative Content for Quinnipiac Men's Ice Hockey Team. Looking at the statistics, this was the most viewed men's Frozen Four on ESPN, I think, since 2011. And you had 1.1 million peak viewers. Wow.
And probably 700,000 of those were located in various spots around Connecticut, because we saw so many videos from Eli's, was kind of the main student hub, and there it was 5 or 6 deep, and there's people going nuts, and it was just, the support we got here was incredible. And I mean, when we landed Sunday, there were 500-600 people waiting for us, and they did a little reception, and then Monday the arena sold out with students and fans and everybody celebrating the team. So it's just been, the community support's been awesome, and people love a good, it's not an underdog story, but like you kind of said, Quinnipiac, small school in Connecticut against the Big Ten teams.
Yep.
To people that don't know that we won 34 games this year. To people that don't know, and they just look and they see Minnesota and Quinnipiac, it's like, ooh, that's interesting, especially,
Maybe I'll watch this one. I'm not a big ice hockey fan, and I watched it, and what a thriller. I mean, overtime, 10 seconds into overtime. What's the name of the player that shot that goal?
Jacob Quillen was the one that finished it off.
What happened with him afterwards? What, how much of a hero is he around campus?
He, his celebrity stock jumped up by about 200%. Probably he's walking around. He almost has to, disguise himself. If he's going to try to go to class.
Paparazzi. That's funny.
They're all over, but it's the whole team too. They're celebrating on campus. They're bringing the trophy everywhere you could imagine. A bunch of them went golfing yesterday and they brought the trophy to the golf course. And, Zach Metz, our captain, was using it as a ball marker. They're celebrating as they should. They deserve every moment of it.
So what's the team going to look like for next year? Is everybody that was on this team, is everybody still sticking around, or are they aging out, graduating? What's the deal with
that? So the 5 fifth years are out of eligibility. They're graduating.
Right.
So Zach Metza, Ethan DeYoung, Desi Bergart, TJ Friedman, Michael Lombardi, they all came back specifically for this.
Right.
So three of them signed pro deals. Metza's in Rochester with the Americans. Lombardi is with the Tucson Roadrunners, and TJ Friedman is with the Utica Comets. That's all in the AHL, one step below the NHL. Our goalie, Yaniv Peretz, signed a 2-year deal with the Carolina Hurricanes. So that'll start next year. And then right now there's a lot of just, you know, will they come back? Will they not come back? Because there's a lot of talent involved, and a lot of these guys are free agents.
Mm-hmm.
So once you hit a certain age, and it varies based on, you know, how long you played juniors and where you're from and all that. Once you hit a certain age, you're no longer draft eligible. So basically what you do is you become a free agent. So for instance, for Colin Graf, who had, you know, 22 points last year at Union, he was good, but like he wasn't getting a ton of looks, you know, after his first year. He comes here, has 59 points, and is on a national championship team and scores the game tying goal in the tournament, and, you know, has this outstanding year. Now everybody comes knocking and it's like, ooh, we want him. You know, Sam Lipkin was a draft pick, so he could if he wanted to. But so it's a whirlwind right now with all these players. So to be honest with you, your guess is as good as mine.
Right. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess. Right.
Yeah, just because, I mean, the NHL playoffs start, you know, next week. So that'll, I guess, that'll temper a lot of it. But right now it's wild because, you know, they just performed as well as they did on the biggest stage. And now everybody's kind of like, ooh, I kind of like that kid.
Right. So let me be, I don't understand sports probably as much as I should. But anyway, so it's not necessarily kids or students that are enrolled at Quinnipiac that play on the sports teams. People can come back and play on the team even though they don't go to school there?
So no, you have to be enrolled in classes. So so what happened was the fifth years that came back, and we have one who just announced Thursday that he was coming back, Jaden Lee. What they'll do is they'll then pursue a master's, or they'll pursue another degree to be eligible to keep playing. So Zach Metza finished his undergrad in 2021 and then got a master's in 2022 because he finished his degree already.
Mm-hmm.
But what the NCAA did was the NCAA granted a blanket waiver after COVID canceled the 2020 season. So they basically said, you know, you are eligible given, you know, X, Y, or Z parameters, you are eligible to get this year back if you would like to.
I see.
So what you're seeing is a lot of these, you know, kids that have graduated that are quote unquote seniors are coming back because they can, but they still have to, you know, take classes and do all that stuff. So Metza got his undergrad, got his master's, and then got another master's this year. So he got 3 degrees out of it. And a national championship, and he just signed a 2-year professional contract, so he's doing pretty okay for himself right about now.
Wow, how many athletes out there have, like, you know, 2 master's degrees? I guess that's what you got to do. Now, do they get compensated for playing for the team?
So you are allowed to make money on your own through the name, image, and likeness,
right?
You know, through the collectives and stuff like that. The school isn't directly paying. It's through what they call collectives. So it's like donors and things like that. That'll, well, not donors, but it's sponsors, and it's, you know, they're it's very complicated, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But basically they can make money on their own, but they're not like salaried, if that makes sense.
Okay. But then, you know, you come back and you get a master's degree and that's paid for. The value of that, you got to factor that into the
exactly
too, right?
And, you know, your starting salary, if, you know, hockey doesn't work out, your starting salary in the real world jumps, you know, X amount of dollars because you have a master's to your name instead of a bachelor's.
Mm-hmm. So what was one of your favorite moments, you know, throughout all of this? What is that one thing where you said, wow, I can't believe I'm standing here?
So I mean, the obvious easy answer is the national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I won't dive into that because, you know, everybody's like, well, no duh, like, you know, why else would you think that? Honestly, one of my favorite moments of the year was we went to Belfast over Thanksgiving. So we played in a tournament called the Friendship Four, and it was us, UMass Dartmouth, and UMass Lowell. And we played in Belfast, Northern Ireland. It was Black Friday, and then that Saturday we played, you know, Dartmouth, and then we played UMass. And what was really cool was our game was the early game on Friday, and it was at 9 o'clock Eastern time, 9 a.m. And it was kids' day, so there were like 4,500 elementary and middle school kids in the game, and they're all chanting Bobcats. And you could probably credit to the fact that Bobcats was a lot easier to say than Big Green, probably. But what was cool was they did school visits to the grade schools the day before. Mm-hmm. So, we show up in all our Quinnipiac stuff, and they're asking questions and doing this. And I don't know how many people know this story, but so they're doing the school visits, and one of the kids runs up to one of our captains and goes, "Hey, if you score, can you do this celebration?" And he does, whatever a grade school kid, the celebration is. Mm-hmm. So sure enough, that Friday, our kid scores, and he does the whole celebration. And it was really cool, and it wasn't something that you wouldn't have known if you didn't, if you weren't there before. But the kids absolutely lost their minds when they saw it. We posted the pictures on social media, and they were like, "Oh my God, Rietzel, our kids told you to, do that. You did it. That's so awesome." But then what was cool was we go to the Frozen Four, and all of those same fans from Belfast are reaching out, "Good luck. We're cheering for you. We want you to win just like you did over here." So the impact of, that week was felt, 4 months later. So
you've got fans all over the world. I mean, and that's how you do it, right? That's how you've got to be approachable. You've got to, talk to these kids when they're young about the sport and make it exciting. And that's what builds lifelong fans, I think, in any sport.
Exactly. And also we're teaching them about ice hockey, which, is it's common in Europe, but not as, common. We show up and they're doing recess and they're playing field hockey, which in field hockey, you can't use your backhand. You only have to use the flat edge of the stick to shoot and do stuff like that. So you can't do backhand. Uh-huh. So, we're trying to teach kids, how to backhand, and they're like, "No, you're not allowed to do that." We're like, "Yeah, you can. Like in this sport, you can do that." But no, so yeah, it was cool.
What are some of your, if people want to look you up, Cam Boone, who is just played an essential role along with everybody else in this whole Quinnipiac men's hockey championship winning. What's some of your social media handles? So if people want to go back, if they didn't get to see some of the fun stuff that you all have posted.
So men's hockey it'll be QU_MIH. Is the Twitter and Instagram for the men's hockey team. And that's all the stuff that I've done, that our photographer has taken, that, our staff has put together. And we're still rolling with it. So it's been, there's been a lot of stuff, we've been able to push out over the last week and hopefully have some more coming. There's been, celebrations and stuff like that, are being planned and things like that. So that'll be kind of cool if everything comes to fruition, but it'll be cool. Yeah. So Quinnipiac men's hockey is the social media handles QU_MIH. And that's pretty much the home of everything as far as men's hockey is concerned.
Are you going to repost any of the national media interviews that you guys have scored?
Oh, we have. Yeah. So we posted the WFAN and CBS Sports Network interview with Rand on Monday. He was actually, he did a sit down interview on SportsCenter on Wednesday.
I saw that. That was good.
Those are both up there. And, kind of as we go, we'll have more. That's for sure.
When do you think the excitement and all this stuff winds down? When does it get old or does it?
I don't know if it'll ever get old. To be honest with you, I mean, there's plays, we're a week later and, you know, I'm watching Rand do the SportsCenter interview on Wednesday, and he's watching the monitor as Quillen scores and as his wife celebrates, and he's just smiling. And I don't think that'll ever go away. Like, we'll show that play again in October when we do, you know, the banner night and stuff like that, and everybody will still lose their minds and go nuts and cheer and everything. I mean, obviously, at some point, you know, from a social media and from, you know, a team perspective, you have to flip from celebrating a title to defending a title.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know when that is. I'm not going to make that decision, and I doubt it'll come anytime soon.
So you must be pinching yourself. Your first year at Quinnipiac, and this is what you got to experience. I mean, does it get – I know, and I've seen on some of your social media, some of your buddies are busting your – you know what? Because they're like, only Cam. What do they call you, Cam?
Oh, I've got about 10 nicknames.
10 nicknames, yeah. Some of them
they pick them all out. They'll drop any one of them at any time.
But, I mean, do you just kind of – where did you come from? What was your job before this?
So I worked at Stony Brook, my alma mater, which is actually where my boss, Nick, worked before. So he worked at Stony Brook. He came here. This is his alma mater. And then I took Nick's job at Stony Brook. I was there until, you know, like I said, mid-September. And then got up here and had never done hockey before. And they said, here you go. Have fun. Here's Rand. Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, oh, okay. All right. And we've kind of rolled for 6 months now, and it's been wild. I mean, I literally have not done something not hockey since I got here. So I've been here for 6 months. So yeah. it's been wild. But
any vacation plans?
So there are a couple. So my college friends and I do a baseball trip in the summer. We're going on like our fourth or fifth year now. We still have to figure out which ones, but I think we're going to do St. Louis. We're all Yankee fans, so we're going to do St. Louis and I think one other one. And then the family's been doing Outer Banks for the last, I don't even know how many years at this point. So that's one. That's usually the marker of the end of the summer, because that's like the second week of August.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come back, and then soccer season starts, and we do it all over again.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, Quinnipiac's reputation, you know, in both academics and sports has just really exceeded itself. I mean, I remember, you know, back in the day when I was still working at Channel 30, when, you know, it just wasn't that big a deal. But a lot of people there at that university, it was Quinnipiac College, I think.
Yeah.
Before that. So now it's Quinnipiac University. I've really worked hard to build a good, stellar reputation as a go-to place of learning. And, I applaud everybody who's involved in that. So we've just got a few minutes left, and I'll let you go. And, I just might want to warn you that the gentleman, Ethan, who edits a show might take out the Yankees sentence.
You want to know what? I said that, and I'm like, I'm just waiting the line back, being like, nope.
Yeah.
Red Sox only. Red Sox yeah. only.
So, you know,
that's okay.
So,
I respect it.
Yeah. So, you know, as you listen to the show, that part might be missing from no, he doesn't have that much editorial control. Hey, we all gotta get along, right?
Exactly.
Right.
To be honest, I would honestly respect that. If we listen back and the Yankee part is just gone, I'd be like, that. That's a savage move, and I respect it. Like,
you do. Well, see, yeah, that's where it gets fun, when there's all this rivalry, and we all got to exactly. get along. Like I said,
and just going back real quick to the academic point, like, you know, the guys had a 3.7 GPA in the fall.
Wow.
And like, you know, Metsa talks about his two masters, and he wasn't the only one, along with his bachelor's. So like, you talk about the power of athletics,
mm-hmm.
like. Admissions go up, and everybody sees, you know, oh, you know, this is how good the academics are for the university as well. Like, we kind of talked about the Frozen Four games and the regional games that were on TV. It's like a commercial for Quinnipiac.
Exactly. You can't buy that kind of time.
This is Quinnipiac. Like, yep.
But that's also free advertising, basically. Right. But that's also, Cam, where what you guys do comes into play, because it's what you put up there. It's what you show and tell, right? I mean,
exactly.
It's initial broadcast, but it's all the promotional stuff. I mean, you can't pay for that kind of earned media. I mean, if you put it, you couldn't put a price tag on it, you know,
you just can't.
Well, I applaud you, and hats off to everybody over there at Quinnipiac, and to Coach Rand Pecknold especially, because that's just an amazing, you know, Cinderella story, if you will, although it took a long time.
It was a long time coming, but I don't think he'd have it any other way.
Of course not. Well, Cam Boone, thank you so much for being on the show. We appreciate it. And of course, we want to thank all of you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.